Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Example one. In 1927, the movie The Jazz Singer was released. It was the first movie to have an audio track that played with the visuals, meaning it was the first talkie movie. Right, all other movies before that had been silent films. Well, the very next year, in 1928, the president of United Arts, a film studio, said something to the New York Times. He said that synchronized audio was just a gimmick and it wouldn't last. He thought silent films were here to stay. Of course, he was wrong, and it was silent films that faded away. Example two. In the 1930s, experimental broadcast with television was just starting to take off. The technology was brand new to a world where most people gathered around the radio for their news and entertainment. In 1939, the New York Times ran an editorial that said, quote, TV will never be a serious competitor for radio, because people must sit and keep their eyes glued on a screen. The average American family hasn't time for it. Try telling that to people today, right? At the time, most people thought TV was a fad and it wouldn't last more than a decade. Obviously, they were wrong too. Example three. In 2003, Steve Jobs, co-founder of Apple, was at the All Things Digital conference. While there, he said in an interview that he thought tablets were a dead end. He said, quote, "It turns out people want keyboards. We look at the tablet and think it's going to fail." Of course, he was wrong too, because Apple then released the first iPad in 2010 and changed how we interact with computers ever since. These are just three examples of times when people thought something was stupid, but it turned out to be brilliant. In the moment, of course, nobody knows what's a dumb idea and what's a great idea. Nobody knows what's going to sizzle and what's going to take off. Like, I bet in 1985, somebody thought New Coke was a good idea. Or in 2006, someone thought the Microsoft Zoom was here to stay. What? Yeah, what? We don't even know what it was. It was their version of the iPod. Or in 2009, somebody thought the Barnes & Noble Nook was a good idea. But it got crushed by the Amazon Kindle. So do we really know a good thing when it comes around? Maybe what some people think is stupid is really brilliant, and maybe what some people think is brilliant is really stupid. So how do we tell the difference? Right? It's hard to say, especially in the moment. Some things are fads that just fade away in time, but some things stand the test of time. But what about Jesus? Right, yeah, I know in one sense, of course, Jesus has stood the test of time. The church has been around since that first group of disciples, and Jesus promised that not even the gates of hell will prevail against him. But what happens when people think that Jesus is just a fact? What happens when they pay attention to him for just a little bit and then dismiss him? If you don't think that happens, then just look at the gospel reading again. This is the end of our 5-week journey through John 6. So to recap the entire chapter, Jesus fed the 5,000 with a little bit of bread and fish. He revealed that he is the true bread that came down from heaven. People got offended when they heard him say he's from heaven because they knew he's really from Nazareth. Then he said that we need to eat his flesh and drink his blood, which just sounds nasty. And by this point, people were starting to say, okay, enough is enough here, Jesus. What you're saying is just wrong. At first, Jesus sounded wonderful. Right? The feeding of the 5,000 was a great thing. Today, we would say it went viral. Everybody was talking about it. The people liked it so much that they rushed after Jesus and tried to make him their king. They wanted him to do more of that kind of stuff. But clearly, Jesus' main concern was not about attracting more people. It was about cultivating disciples. And some people didn't want to do that. Like, I can imagine if there was a reporter in the crowd that day, somebody might have told him, well, you know, Jesus started off great, but now he's fallen apart. I don't see his popularity continuing very long after what he's been saying. I don't think many people are going to follow him after this. Jesus wasn't doing or saying what they wanted. So they ignored him and turned away. Or as the text puts it, when many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" Notice that this is Jesus' own disciples who are saying this. Yes, he had been speaking to the crowds, but now we get to hear what his disciples think. And they think he's lost it. They want to leave and go somewhere else. And Jesus understands that this is tough. He knows that not everybody can handle this. He knows that discipleship is a hard road to walk. Then, because of what he was saying, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with it. Think about that. These are his disciples, people who had previously committed themselves to following him. People who had given up prior commitments and priorities for the sake of the gospel. And now they're saying, nope, forget it, I'm done. I quit, I can't handle this. In one sense, it's like leaving Jesus behind as if he were a passing fad. But in a more serious sense, this is us too. Sometimes we don't really want to listen to what Jesus says either. We want him to be the miracle-making, wonder-working guy who can fix all our problems. And when he tells us things like the importance of eating him, or say, loving our enemies, then we start to back off a bit too. We had been following him, and then we say, nope, forget it, I'm done. I want something that's easier and more convenient for me. This is too challenging. When Jesus calls us to take our discipleship seriously, then many people turn away. They just give up. In our American culture that prizes personal happiness and doing whatever you want, who would really want to do the hard work of following Jesus? Like right now, it is so easy for people to be focused on themselves, their families, and their little clan, and just hope that they'll survive until tomorrow. If the rest of the world falls apart, like in Afghanistan or Haiti or even here in the U.S., that doesn't bother me so long as I'm okay. But that's not what discipleship looks like, folks. Discipleship requires us to get outside of ourselves and care for others. And yes, sometimes we feel overwhelmed and overburdened and we don't know what to do. but that's just the mindset of scarcity popping up again. We saw that back at the beginning of this chapter, when the disciples wondered how this little bit of food could feed all these people. When we think we can't help, then we discount what we have, and we don't realize the big impact it can still make in the hands of Jesus. If we think that obeying Jesus doesn't really matter, then we miss out, both for ourselves and for the world. Because remember, Jesus did feed the people with what looked like nothing. Jesus did come from heaven. Jesus did give himself as bread for the world. In fact, Jesus loves you so much that he sacrificially gave himself to you in death and in life so that you may live. And so that you may live for others. And yes, some people find that bread of life hard to swallow. Pun intended. Sometimes it sounds ridiculous. It sounds like an idea that somebody thought was great at the time, but it'll soon fade away. But what if it's the other way around? What if Jesus' words are something that sounded ridiculous at the time, but really, they're absolutely brilliant? After some of the disciples left, Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." There it is, my friends. That confession of faith. This is the line we sing before the gospel reading every Sunday. This is the climax of this entire chapter. This is what we've been building up to for 5 weeks. Yes, Jesus can sound strange at times, but there is nowhere else we can turn for this bread of life. There is no one else and nothing else like Jesus. And remember, even though Peter said this, he wasn't perfect. Right? Far from it. He tried to talk Jesus out of dying. He put in his mouth frequently. And he even denied that he ever knew Jesus. But you know, it's okay. Because we're not perfect either. Jesus doesn't call us to be perfect. Instead, he calls us to trust him. Right? We don't have to know all the answers to life's big questions. We don't need to know how to fix every problem in the world. We don't need to have it all together. All we need is Jesus. Well, that's not to say, of course, that if we follow Jesus, all of life's problems are going to go away. Right? We know that doesn't work. But it is to say that there is nowhere else we can turn to find meaning and purpose in life. There is no one else who will give us the promises only Jesus can fulfill. There is nowhere else we can turn to find this bread of life that will keep us going in this life and the next. There are so many problems and so many people who think they know the answers to those problems. And there are so many competing voices that sometimes we don't know who to listen to at all. But problems will come and go. And so too will those who think they have all the answers. And yes, the people who talk today might be remembered in history. But you know, history also remembers Pet Rocks, the Walkman, and the Macarena. The only one who truly stands the test of time, the only one who can feed us with himself, the only one truly worth listening to, is the one who calls us to be his body in the world, Jesus. So yes, fads will come and go. But some things that seem stupid at the time turn out to be amazing. No matter what new inventions are being made now or what the latest trending thing is, there is nothing that compares to Jesus. He is the bread of life given for you and for the world. And he never runs out. So, as Peter said to him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." In the name of the one we follow, obey, and proclaim, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.